Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, I need something that I forgot. Yes. People get worried when the pastor pulls out a preaching prop. Yes, who's closest? Can you catch? I want to talk about farming this morning. Oh, yes, farming. Because I'm a great farmer. I've got 6 chickens, 5 chickens. Farmer always knows the condition of his field, his flocks. One of the things that I just find so fascinating with Jesus as we're reading through the parables this month is Jesus is the creator of the universe. He gets how things are made. He understands things completely. So can you imagine getting up to preach and he knows everything? He's got so much information. I mean, he was there when he and his Father and Holy Spirit, when they created all the planets and the galaxies. He actually orchestrated it. He did it. He knows the inner workings of a mosquito or a buffalo or He knows how things work. Can you imagine, you know, like a university professor coming to kindergarten? He's like, "Hey, kids." It's a bit like that, but kind of bigger. So in Matthew 13, Jesus, after another long day of speaking, he's got a message on his heart for all the people crowding around. In fact, so many people crowded around that he had to get onto a boat so it wouldn't be crowded and crushed. And what do you think he'd talk about? If he's got all this information from where he was, what's he going to talk about? Well, he starts talking about how to grow crops. He's talking to a farming community, a regional center. And it's a really simple little story. And I bet at the end of that, they would have gone, "That was nice, you know. But I think we know how to farm, Jesus." So Jesus talks about parables, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But let's look at this parable. It's one of the great parables, the stories of Jesus. The parables are the ways that Jesus teaches. He uses stories. He grabs these incredible truths into really simple stories. And parables are often designed to shock, actually. Like the Good Samaritan. You know, the good guy is the bad guy. Right? You know, when you're watching a movie, you think you want the good guy to win. But in a lot of the parables, he's speaking to an audience where he's trying to kind of shock them or shake them into something. And so it's the enemy that ends up winning, is the good guy in the parable of the Samaritan. And again, you'll find those sorts of things as you look through the parables, that there's stories with a twist, and the twist is designed to reveal something about our hearts. Now, this parable is a great parable because Jesus actually explains this parable to his friends who are going, "Huh? What do you mean, Jesus?" So let's look at the parable, and then let's explain the parable. So Matthew 13, I'm just going to jump to verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them." So get this picture, okay. The sower is sowing. He's got his bag, and he's tossing out seeds, and some just land on the path. He says, birds come and pick them up and eat them. Verse 5, other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Then other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. How interesting. And you're going, yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I can see how that works, you know. We've all tried to sow. Who's tried to grow lawn seeds, you know? And you just sow liberal amounts of seed because hopefully something will stick. And some ends up on the path and some ends up in the rocks. Yeah, I get that. So why is Jesus, the creator of the universe, telling us farming stories? I think there's a lot of things in here. Firstly, it's about seeds. Do you know that seeds, in the parable that follows this, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of the field, but when it's grown, it's larger than all the garden plants. Jesus understands seeds. Like, in a seed is the DNA, is the recipe for that tree. It's incredible. The tiniest seed grows an incredible plant in time. In time. But that's the mystery of a seed, isn't it? I mean, imagine some of the beautiful trees in Makati Park here. They started tiny, tiny seeds. But Jesus is saying that it's this how kingdom growth happens. But how do you get the seed in is what this parable is talking about. And he's talking about the condition of the heart. That's what he's dealing with. And so his disciples come and say to him, hey, Jesus, I kind of get it, but not really. Can you explain it to us? And you see this story in the three, what we call synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Same passages in all three Gospels. And Jesus goes to his inner crowd, just to his disciples. He says, all right, let me explain it to you. The first one is about the path, the seed that falls on the path. He says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and does not understand that the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. All right, let's unpack that. The word of the kingdom. What was the word of the kingdom? Here it is. God's word are like seeds. Whenever you hear a word from God, it's like a seed. Now, words come in all kinds of different ways, but mainly it's through the Bible. When you're reading the Bible and a word, like one, you just feel like God is saying, Jeff, you should forgive your wife. You know, of course you didn't do anything wrong. Jeff, you should, you know, stop being so something. You know, you've read these words and you feel like God is speaking to you. It's a word from God. Yes. Okay. Or it could be somebody who's praying with you. They go, you know, I got this sense that God is saying, bang. And it kind of hits you. You go, man, that's so accurate. That's so true. Or it could just be when you're driving along in your car or you wake up in the morning and just a little thought comes in that's consistent with the Bible and it sounds like God and, man. Okay. They're words from God. These are words of the kingdom. So Jesus is saying, according to the condition of your heart is how you'll receive those words. So here it is, the path, when anyone hears the word, say if I'm in prayer and God says you need to, I don't know, give some money to someone. And I go, didn't hear that. When anyone hears the word and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. If I don't get it, if I don't grasp it, it's like Satan will come and grab that word and take it. And that word is designed to bear fruit. Okay? The word that's been sown in, the things that God is showing me is actually good. It's good. But if I kind of don't even let that into my heart, that seed is not going to bear fruit. It's not going to take root. It's going to be just snatched away by the devil. And those things that could have flourished in my life are not going to flourish anymore. It's a tragedy. Because I'll get to the why in a second. I think hardness of heart is caused by a few things. I think there's two main areas. Pride and insecurity. And they're actually two sides of the same coin. Think about it for a second. Pride and self-sufficiency. I'm okay, God. I can do this all by myself. It's kind of pride. In fact, I'm so okay that I don't even need to read your word in the mornings because I reckon I can do life myself. I'm pretty sorted, you know. I've got this career going and I've got this. So I don't really need words from the kingdom of God. So therefore, I'm not going to open my Bible and I'm not going to pray too much because life's going all right. I'm not going to come to church because, you know, like me and God. Like this. So you distance yourself from places where the word of God might be sown into your heart. And that's pride, self-sufficiency. Some might say arrogance. That's one thing. Attitudes and dispositions can actually stop these things that God is going to sow into you and through you bear heaps of fruit, be fruitful in life. Who doesn't want to be fruitful in life? I've never met a person who said, nah, I don't want to do anything in my life. We all want to be fruitful. We all want to be significant and may our lives make a difference to other people. The other side of that coin is either insecurity or a really low self-view that says, God, I'm not good enough for that. I'm not good enough for church. You heard people say that? I'm so bad that I couldn't read the Bible or pray. I'm kind of so don't talk to me about words from God. Why would God give that to me? I'm just you know that kind of low self-view. That actually can also stop us from receiving words from God because we don't think we're good enough to. It was never about being good enough. Because God comes to the poorest, the weakest, the loneliest with words of encouragement. And God comes to the kings and the people who are full of pride with words as well. But both of those things can stop a seed from getting root in the soil. That's the path. Three more. The rocky ground. I want you to picture ground that has some soil in it. But it's got lots of rocks. You know, and there's not a lot of depth of soil in there. The seed might find a little bit of soil, but it won't go down too far before it hits a rock. Who's been camping somewhere? And you're setting up your tent, and you're trying to hammer in a tent, and it goes in that far. You go, oh, okay, I'll just move the tent. Try here. Nope, and you bend the peg. So the soil, underneath all the soil is all these rocks. It's like that. And Jesus says this, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, right? So at least it's gone in this time. At least we've put ourselves in a place where we're going to hear the word. And they immediately receive it with joy. Yes, that's awesome, God. I love that. Wow, yes. But it has no root in itself, but it endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately it falls away. It's like there's immediate bloom and a celebration. I've seen people like this when they first come to faith in Christ. Bang, wow, this is awesome. Next week, it's like they've hit a problem. Or something's gone wrong and they haven't got enough root into God that will help them to bear fruit. You see, that's rockiness. Now I'm thinking, God, what's going to cause rockiness in our heart? that's going to stop this thing from penetrating, because God's designed us to bear fruit. These are things like when you don't forgive someone, it's like it creates something resolute in your heart. You ever felt like that with someone? And they ring up on the phone and, yes. See, things like that, or even, you know, sin or things, habits or addictions or things that you're trying to hide from God. Say, God, come and do everything in me, but not here. The thoughts, the attitudes, the things that are actually quite harmful in your life, but you won't let God in. They're like rocks, stones in your heart, so that when a seed tries to penetrate, it'll only go so far and it'll hit something. At this point, the seed isn't deep enough to get in. Makes sense? Because when any trouble comes, it quickly withers away and fails. Not going so well with this farming, are we? Paths, rocky, and here's another one, thorns. Verse 22, Jesus explaining to his disciples, he says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. I love this. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful. I want you to see something here. This is actually deep soil. Okay? The seed is actually grown, it's taken root, it's flourishing. This seed, the soil is fantastic, but around the soil, all is weeds. And it's wrapping itself around the plant that's trying to grow, and it's choking it and pulling it down. And I think, what is that? Well, Jesus explains it. He says two things. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It's like when we're so preoccupied with the worries of the world. What am I going to eat today? What am I going to wear? How do I get through this job? How do I cope with this? I don't have this or that. When you're so concerned about your day-to-day life that you've got no room in your world for God. You're so preoccupied with the things around you. And even these are good things sometimes. You know, your family and where you live, your house and mowing the lawn and washing the car and, you know, going to work and looking after the kids. And suddenly I've left no room in my life. The cares of the world, the things that we have to do, occupy us way too much and take over that space that's just reserved for God. And then Jesus lists the deceitfulness of riches. He says that you can't worship wealth and God. You just can't. It's like where your treasure is, there is your heart. And he's saying that this riches deceive, because so much of our world is around riches and wealth. It's around attaining things for our own security so that I've got enough, I've made it. And it's the goal in life, isn't it, to make sure that you've got enough. But so many people spend so much of their life just chasing that they forget the things that are really important around their world. It's a matter of priorities, you know. It's having but not possessing, someone wise once put. Having something but not possessing it so strongly in your heart that you start being defined by it. So they're the thorns, and they can crush and wrap out the word of God. But the last one is the good soil. It says, as for what was sown in verse 23, good soil, this is one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold. In another, 60. Another, 30. Isn't that amazing? You've got this incredible fruit that's growing because it's depth of soil. There's nutrients in the soil. There's water in this soil. Nutrients is like the word of God. It's food for the soil. Water is like the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And nutrients and water and the soil is deep. And so you plant something in there, that seed will grow. You hear a word from God in the morning when you're reading your Bible and bang, and wow, and 2 years later, there's this fruit from that word, just one word. Somebody in church just says, hey, I encourage you in some way, and boom, this word sinks in deeply and suddenly there's fruit that's growing. It doesn't get choked out. It's not destroyed quickly. So my question around this passage, and I've wrestled with this passage for a long time. I mean, decades. Sometimes I think, so Lord, here's the two things, right? Is this passage like fait accompli? Is Jesus just describing people? Because it seems like he is. He says, well, when the word comes, this is what's going to happen to people. So be it. Ever read it like that? So he's just describing the conditions of people's heart, and he's probably describing the people who's listening to him. It's like Jesus is preaching. He's saying, you know what? At the end of the day, there's so many people who've got hard hearts, shallow soil, rocky soil. Probably only a few of you who really get this. I'm thinking, well, how does that help me? I think there's more. There's this cracking verse in Hosea. Hosea 10, 12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Seeds bear fruit, right? Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. How awesome is that? God's saying to his people, he says, plow up. This is where my prop comes in. He says, I better not. But you can just picture soil. He says, plow it up the hearts. Get that, the paths and the hard soil and the bits. He says, just rake, get that soil up. Get it deep. Get it nutrient. Get the rocks. Get into that rocky soil. The unforgiveness, the offenses you carry and the things and the sin in your heart, and just get rid of them. You could create some really good soil with this thing. Get where those weeds are growing and choking out. Just get those weeds out. Get them out. I reckon it's active for us. I'll put this down. I know I'll hurt somebody. James. Probably James. Or Ian. Where's Ian? He's my usual victim. Isn't that amazing? Hosea says, he says, plow up the ground, the hard ground of your heart. I want you to picture, let's get some musos up here and we'll finish up. I want you to picture what a soft heart would bear. What an amazing thing that when you hear just one tiny seed of a word of God. It might be this. I love you, says God. That's a seed from the word of God. It might be that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a scripture, Psalm 139. There's a seed. And you're going, no, I'm not fearfully, wonderfully made. No. Just imagine what that one seed could do. Just imagine how it could transform your life. Imagine that one word from God could grow up into a mighty tree that would produce other seeds. That's the point. It reproduces. So that so many people around you get that same word. You are loved, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved. And they all bear fruit. Just because you've taken the time to plow up your heart. Prepare the way for the seed. Seeds are all around you. I'm telling you, God speaks. God speaks through nature. Every sunrise is a seed. Heavens declare the glory of God, isn't it? And you go, it's just sunrise. But no, God's created a new day for you. This is the day the Lord has made. There's a seed. There's a seed everywhere you look. Every little smile is a seed. Little affection, every little blessing from God, every time you get your paycheck is a seed. Thank you, Jesus, that he will provide all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's a seed. You just have to open your eyes. And the Word of God, just one tiny, tiny little seed can bear so much fruit. I'm telling you. Would you stand with me? Because today I believe that God wants you to get out that rake and get to work. Your seed, your heart is not fixed. What farmer just scatters and doesn't care about his soil? Every farmer I know cares about his soil, her soil. They water it. They make sure there's nutrients in it. They remove the rocks. They remove the weeds. I know that. Jesus is saying, he says, you can work on the condition of your heart. Prepare your heart for the seed of the Word of God and you will bear fruit. Your life will be fruitful. It all comes from the heart. Lord Jesus, right now, come and speak to us as we're standing in your presence. Come and speak to us. Where is it for you this morning? Find your heart is hard. Is it rocky? Are there weeds choking out the Word of God? Or is it deep? Do you find yourself lost in God's thoughts? And where is it for you? Just spend a moment before the Lord. Say, God, show me. Show me. Show me. What is it? Show me. Show me, Lord Jesus. Show me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. You know he's going to speak to you and it's going to be a seed. There's going to be a thought and it's a seed. It's a seed. How do you respond to that seed? How do you respond to this message right now? Is it more? I want more. Is it no, not for me today. Thank you. No, I've got all these other things to do. Thank you. Test your heart. Praying that you show us how to scrape away hardness. Show us how to dig up stones. Show us how to get rid of weeds that we may bear fruit for your kingdom. Thank you for this amazing parable, Lord Jesus. Just before we finish, an awesome truth is that Jesus actually gives us a new heart. Get this. It's called being born again. It's called salvation. For the Old Testament writers, they called it having a new heart. You're born again. You actually get a transplant inside that is soft, that is beautiful, that is tender. It's not hard or stony or rocky. This is Ezekiel 36. Look it up later. But it's soft. God comes and speaks. If you find life is just not working for you, the only way ahead is a brand new heart. It's called being born again. It's called becoming a Christian. And that new heart is the thing that's going to transform your life. That new heart is going to give you the joy and the freedom that you need. It's going to give you life and laughter. A new heart is the answer to world problems. I'm telling you. It's the answer to Myanmar and coronavirus and everything else that's going on in our world. A brand new heart is the thing that will fix things. It'll fix it for you first, and you'll find the flow-on effect to your friends and your family and your world, and you'll find yourself full of hope and full of courage and full of freedom and full of life. Just because God transplants, he takes away your old heart and he gives you a new heart. And this heart is something that can receive seeds from the Word of God. If you've never experienced that new heart this morning, online, in the room, now is your moment to have a heart exchange. Jesus will come and replace your heart and make it all new. Who needs that this morning? Just raise your hand. You've never received Jesus. You've never received his gift of a new heart. Well, you have and it's kind of all faded. Get a trade-in. This morning, anyone in the room, online, I'd love you to know the blessing of a new heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come and have a chat with me afterwards. Ro or some team will help you get on the journey of a brand new heart. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.